Hey, we always get to check in with Dick Weiss, media critic, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He's now a contributor to stlbeacon.org. You can find him at weisswright.com, and he's our media critic. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
I find it interesting that so many news outlets are still calling it swine flu when they should be calling it something else, no?
Yeah, H1N1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
flu. How about that? How's that come across on the radio?
That wouldn't be very good, no. Are you surprised, shocked?
About the coverage?
Yeah, I think
from my point of view, and my I have to tell you that my wife has a master's in public health, so we can't get enough of this information about H1N1 or swine flu.
Right.
I think it's obviously you can go, you can put people into a panic mode, as our vice president nearly did.
Right, tried to anyway.
And he has a foot and mouth disease, which apparently is not as virulent, but not as contagious. but you don't mess around with this stuff. It can the flu is apparently a mild form, at least at this point, but it can mutate, and people need to be very cautious. So the more information, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, do you call it a teachable moment?
Yeah, I think so. I think we learned a whole lot more. Whenever a crisis comes about, have you ever heard of mortgage derivatives? And now we know a little bit about that. We know a little bit about finance. Now we know a little bit about public health and disease and what the flu does. And so it's great as far as I'm concerned. You can't get too much information.
Do you think the hype of it will hurt then, let's say, next fall when they start talking, oh, you have to get your flu shots and worry about it next fall? Do you think they're going to be crying wolf one too many times?
Yeah, that's the danger, is that people will, if nothing happens and there aren't a lot of deaths, then people will become inured to the news. And then if the flu does make a comeback, and there's some history to show that it does, and that it's often worse than the first go-around, that people won't take the precautions. But you can almost follow the court. Following the public health course of flu is one thing on a sort of a scientific and medical basis, but you can also follow the sociological phenomenon of how the news media handles these things and what happens as a result. And that's almost as interesting.
Right. All right, let's talk about our local hometown newspaper, your former employer. Circulation is up in the Sunday?
Yeah, the Sunday, good news for the Post-Dispatch, one of the few papers in the country that showed a slight gain in Sunday circulation while other papers were falling precipitously. The weekday was not as good for the Post-Dispatch, about 6.5% decline year over year in its circulation, but that's still better than the national average, which was about 7%, and other papers were losing double digits in terms of circulation. That's pretty good news for the paper. The Post-Dispatch not only shrunk its paper, but also increased the price, the newsstand price. So,
what is it now?
That's not terrible. 75 cents, I believe.
75 cents. Still, I think, a great, great deal to bring the world to your door for 75 cents.
And, you know, and the Sunday paper is basically the size of a paperback book.
Now, why is the Sunday circulation up? Do we have any idea? Do they have any idea?
You know, they didn't say. They reported very proudly in the paper that, that this was happening. I think St. Louis has always been a fairly strong Sunday newspaper town. And that's where you get your coupons, and they brag that, I can't remember, there's like $200 or $235 worth of coupons supposedly in the Post-Dispatch this past Sunday. So
right. That
has something to do with it.
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that they took Deb Peterson out of the weekday and put her on Sunday.
Yeah.
So the week is down and Sundays is up.
Right, and you know what? They ought to put her back in the weekday, and then maybe Gail Pennington more Gail Pennington too.
More of the people we want to see.
Yeah.
How's their stock price doing?
Their stock price, interestingly, a couple months ago was down to less than a quarter, and it is now double that. It's now 48 cents. I was just checking my little BlackBerry to see if somebody was taking some profits today, but it went up 26% on Friday.
So it's doubled.
Double. You could have doubled your money, McGraw, 6 weeks ago if you invested in Lee Enterprises. And boy, that didn't seem like a good bet, but Oh, there you go. We're just not behind the curve.
What do you think while you watch this Arlen Specter debate about the 60 filibuster-proof Senate and all that?
You know, I thought that Arlen Specter would get a lot better publicity than he has gotten. Of course, you'd expect the Republicans to dump on him, but he got this nickname. He was a Democrat decades ago.
Right.
And he switched to the Republican Party so he'd get himself elected. And then he switched back to the Democrats, and his nickname is Specter the Defector. And the person who raised that, brought that nickname back, was none other than David Broder, the legendary and very, I would say, judicious columnist for the Washington Post.
Right.
And apparently he's not particularly well-liked in Washington, and a lot of people say he's in it for himself, and he really did not go out of the way to deny that a lot of this had to do with some self-interest. But he's running as a Democrat, and the Democrats have cleared the way for him. He probably will not have a primary battle, but he may face Tom Ridge, who's a very popular former governor and director of Homeland Security, in the general. And that would be a very interesting race because Tom Ridge has got a lot going for him.
Who I also believe is pro-choice, Tom Ridge is.
Yes. So that's going to kind of trump any moderates or liberals who think they want to vote for Arlen Specter on that basis.
Right. But what I find fascinating is we're shocked to find out that Arlen Specter's in it for himself.
Right. You know, yeah. Isn't
all these,
everybody?
All these guys are in it for themselves.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of that race is going to be around whether the Democrats ought to have a veto-proof majority and what they do if you know when they finally get Al Franken seated and they do have 60 votes, what they do with that, and whether the country after 2 years. Feels like they want the Democrats to have a whole lot of power.
I still love the fact that you couldn't make this up, but Stuart Smalley is going to give the Democrats their 60th seat that makes them filibuster proof.
Yeah, that's
I mean, a comedy writer from Saturday Night Live, right, is going to tip the balance of the world.
And the interesting thing is, you don't hear Al Franken telling many jokes.
Hasn't said a word.
I know. But once he gets that seat, it should be interesting. He'll probably be very, very good.
I was tooling around the internet yesterday, and I was checking out stlbeacon.org, which is a must. And they have this thing called Uneasy Street. And they I guess a reporter went around with the mayor of Granite City.
Yeah, there's a little video on there.
Yeah.
Taking a little tour of Granite City.
It was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I had an image of Granite City as kind of a Rust Belt town, kind of down on its heels, and there's some interesting images there. It's a very pretty parts of town,
mm-hmm.
and they're facing some hard times. The other thing I didn't realize was that the steel industry was booming here just about a year ago,
right?
Doing very well. Now, of course, they have lots of layoffs, and so far, with unemployment benefits and everything, the town is kind of holding its own, but if this recession stretches into the fall, things could get a lot worse. And Mary Leonard, reporter for the Beacon, put this together and has a very nice package. There's three parts to this series on Granite City, and we're looking at towns in the region, and this series is called Uneasy Street.
Yeah, it was really very, very good. Yeah. You know, the steel industry's been up, it's been down. Bush put the tariffs on it. That helped it out. Then he took the other tariffs off. So it's sort of an up-and-down industry. All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Best story you never read. You remember that plane that landed in the Hudson?
How could we forget?
Sully Sullenberger saved so many lives. And one of the lives he saved was a guy by the name of, interestingly, Casey Jones. Remember the choo-choo trains?
Yeah.
Casey Jones?
Yeah.
Well, this guy's name is Casey Jones, and this guy has to fly a lot. And so after having landed in the Hudson and standing on a wing and getting saved, he has to get back on an airplane. And he has a need to introduce himself to the pilot of every airplane that he flies on and tell them what happened to him. And he has a need to know who the pilot is now. And he gets on and he introduces himself, and then he sits down and he starts to pray as the plane takes off and lands. And this is what people go through after having been through a trauma like that. It's a very interesting story by Lane DeGregory, who is a friend of mine and won a Pulitzer Prize a month ago.
Where this first?
This is from the St. Petersburg Times,
right.
And you can find the link at weisreit.com.
St. Petersburg Times won like two or three Pulitzer Prizes.
They've done very well. It's considered a writer's paper, and they are going through some hard times like many other papers, but they have an endowment funded by the Poynter Institute, which is sort of a think tank for journalists. So they've probably done a little bit better than some other papers have.
What are your thoughts on the Boston Globe possibly shutting down?
That would be a real
that'd be the biggest newspaper
yeah,
yet.
Turning
to be shut
point.
Down.
Yeah, that would be something. The latest news being the unions made some concessions, but maybe not enough so far.
But it's a New York Times company.
Right.
So clearly the New York Times has well documented of all their troubles. If that closes down, it's one of the top five media markets in the country. If they can't sustain that newspaper, what does that mean for?
Yeah, it's a harbinger, a real canary in the coal mine kind of thing.
Right.
So we hope they can hang on. It's good paper.
Weisreit.com, Weisreit.com for that best story you've never read about the gentleman after meeting all the pilots. Also, STLBeacon.org. Dick, have a good week. Check in with you next week.
You too.
848, stay right there. We'll find out what Mike Shannon did at the Derby next on the Big 550 KTRS.